20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You, of course, can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. As always, appreciate your support, and thanks so much for being here. Today, we're going to be going over Brian Gutekunst's comments at his press conference at the NFL Combine on Tuesday. Two different sessions that he did, one with local media, and then a second one with everyone that wanted to ask, whether it be local media, national media, etc. There was the initial one with the local media, which was interesting. We found out later from Aaron Nagler that it was not, or you weren't allowed to live tweet during that session. So, which is why we didn't get a bunch of information from that one. And then as soon as that one was done, it's not like those media members had the opportunity to start tweeting a bunch of stuff out, because then Goody went to talk to everyone else and they had to sort of rush over there and start covering that one. So then we all got to hear that one because it was posted on Packers.com and on their YouTube channel, everything else. And then from there, then we finally got the trickle effect of everything that happened in the initial press conference. And the reason that it was interesting is because there wasn't a ton that happened in the main press conference. Per usual, the questions were very hard to hear over the internet, and it was just Goody kind of explaining things. You had to kind of glean from time to time what the question actually was. And then a lot of the stuff that was much more important came out. Aaron Nagler started tweeting out about it. Matt Schneidman put out a great article. Bill Huber was all over it. The usual cast of characters. And then we sort of started to get all the meat and potatoes of everything that happened. So we're going to jump into all of that today. Before we get there, quick shout out to new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Tyler Fox and Chad Mulder. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. If you haven't checked all those memberships yet, of course, make sure to do so. And like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Those things help the channel a ton. And we always appreciate that as well. Let's start with the main takeaway from this one. The main question that I think we all had going into this is, were we going to learn anything about Jaire Alexander? We knew Goody was going to get asked, and there was that brief moment where we thought he didn't get asked because he wasn't asked it in the main session. And then again, we found out later that he was asked, of course, in the local media session. But was there going to be an update with Jaire Alexander? Well, Goody was asked about Jaire, whether he'd be back, and Goody said, quote, "We'll see. We're working through that. He certainly could be. We got to get him out there more. Not being able to be out there at this at his best has frustrated him, and that has obviously frustrated our football team too." That's how we spoke about Jaire Alexander. You might read this as just GM speak. Nothing there. It's a nothing burger. Just let it be. Others might say, oh, he certainly could be on the team. That's a key takeaway. He could still be a Packer this year. Fair ways to interpret it. Could be GM speak. Could be that he has still a chance to become a Green Bay Packer this year, remain a Green Bay Packer this year. To me, maybe this is just confirming priors. I went into this fully expecting that Jaire Alexander would no longer be a Green Bay Packer, and I feel even stronger in that fact, or in my belief, I should say, that Jaire will not remain a Green Bay Packer. I think the easiest way to sort of look at this is by having, or at least comparing it to the Brandon McManus discussion. Brandon McManus, later, they asked Goody, you know, would you like Brandon McManus back on the team? Yeah, we'd love to. We're working towards that end and we'll see where that goes. There's quite a difference there. Now, obviously my voice inflection, how I'm reading it is a little bit different as well, but you get my point. Would you like Brandon McManus back? Yeah, we'd love him. We're working towards that goal. We're working towards that end. Jaire Alexander, yeah, we'll see. We're working through that. He certainly could be. Like, you know, again, I'm doing a little bit of the heavy lifting with my voice inflection here, but you get the point. When he was asked about Brandon McManus, there was clearly obviously, we want him back. Yes, we want him back. We'd love to have him back. And asked about Jaire, we'll see. We're working through it. There's a huge difference between those two things. And I should add on top of that, rewind a year. Goody lies. He's supposed to. He's a general manager. It's in his job description. At this time last year, he was asked about Aaron Jones. Would Aaron Jones be back at the team? Absolutely. We'd love to have him back. He's the heartbeat of the team. I don't know the exact quote, but he was very adamant that Aaron Jones would be back at the team. And he cut him. Signed Josh Jacobs and he cut him. He very clearly, even if he wanted to, right? He just wanted to lie about it, say, yeah, we love Jaire. You know, we're working through a couple things, but we'd love to have him back on the team. We'll see. We're working through that. He certainly could be. if you go and listen to, you know, just to, you know, they're the quote or read the quote in its entirety, you really get the feel of like, hey, this is seemingly done. Now, he did make mention that he's going to work with Jair's agent through the course of this week. And here's how I read this. Let me start by saying, when Goody was asked about Jair at the end of end of season press conference, he said, you know, well, we've got a lot of conversations we still have to have. The season still ended, and we're going to go through those conversations coming up. That's a fine answer. You had some plausible deniability because the season just ended. Now you're, you know, what, a couple months later, and you're asking the same question. Goody knew it was going to come, and it's basically, yeah, we'll see. We're working through it. I should remind you as well, Brandon McManus is a free agent. We'd love to have him back. Jair Alexander has 2 years left on his deal on a reasonable contract if you were, you know, a healthy, you know, regularly playing corner for this team. It's not like this crazy contract where if Jair was healthy, you'd be like, oh, you got to get off that thing. No, it'd be a very nice contract if Jair was still healthy and able to play game in and game out. But he hasn't been. He's missed 50% of his games over the last four seasons. It's an extraordinary amount of games with different injuries. So the way that I read this, just me personally, you can agree to disagree or just flat out vehemently disagree. That's totally fine as well. But the way I read this is they're going to have negotiations with Jair's agent. And my guess is that that conversation is primarily, we need to get that number significantly down. He has not shown the ability to stay healthy over a four-year period of time. We are happy to kick in a ridiculous amount of incentives. If he plays a, you know, 17-game season, it's going to get back up to this. If he hits an all-pro mark or whatever it might be, Pro Bowl, et cetera, he can get some bonuses where it would be either the contract that he's already on or maybe even surpass the contract that he's already on. Basically set to make another about $17 million this year. Now, you could see where maybe Green Bay would be like, let's get that to 8 or 9, and we feel a lot more comfortable. We'll guarantee that 8 or 9. You know, he gets a little bit more guaranteed money. And then we'll add in all the incentives where if he just plays the rest of the season or a good chunk of the season, you know, let's say 75% of the games, you know, he's going to get up to the $17 million that he was already expected to make anyway. And if he makes the Pro Bowl, he gets another million. If he makes a second team All-Pro, another million. After that, first team All-Pro, it goes up to $20 million, whatever it might be. Like, you could easily structure something like that to make it work, right? That's well within the realm of possibility. My issue is, I don't think that that's going to happen. The first thing we don't know is Jair even going to want back in? Like he said at the end of the year when he was leaving his locker of like, I don't have anything positive to say. I don't even know if I'm going to be back here. Kind of feels like he is a little bit frustrated as well. So if Green Bay goes to him and his agent with the pay cut, he might just say, no, cut me. I'll go somewhere else, or trade me. I'll go somewhere else. I'm not taking a pay cut to go anywhere, or, you know, to stay here. Excuse me. That could be the case too. I think it's very unlikely that what Green Bay has in mind for a potential restructure is going to be satisfactory for Jair and his agent. Could be wrong, but that's my guess and my read on the situation. Then from there, one of the reasons why Goody probably doesn't come out today and say, yeah, we're done with the Jair Alexander business and, you know, he's probably going to play for another team next year or something like that, is because you want to maintain any sort of trade value. And right now, I'm not sure Jair has a ton of trade value, but if he does, you want to maintain it. Because guess what? Even if it's a conditional 7th-round pick or a conditional 6th-round pick or something like that, it is better than nothing. So if he has any trade value, you want to keep that as high as possible. If you just say like, yeah, we're going to, you know, we're still considering keeping him on the team, well, then maybe the team's like, all right, well, at least let's trade something for him. You know, if they just think he's going to hit free agency anyway, they may be less inclined to trade anything for Jair Alexander. So there's probably a piece of that. That's probably step two on this list. And then if you can't find a restructure that works, if you can't find a trade that works, it probably then comes to the point of just releasing Jair. And I think that still might be the most likely outcome of all of this. I think it's release, trade, plays for the team. You could switch up trade and release. I think those are very, very close. I think they could get something small, potentially, not expecting anything big, but I think it's possible. But to me, the big takeaway here is that it really still continues to feel like Jair Alexander will not be a Green Bay Packer in 2025 or beyond, that he's probably played his last snap for Green Bay. If you'd like more info on this, I've done a huge deep dive into this already, so you can go check that out as to why it makes sense that Green Bay probably shouldn't bring him back. We've discussed that at length, so not going to go over that today, but that video is out there on the YouTube channel. Of course, the audio is out there on the audio channel as well, if you want to pick that up. All right, the next one that was rather interesting that we have been talking about and sort of nerding out about to some extent, and you know, everyone's had their own opinion on this, is with Green Bay hosting the draft, do they need to keep their first round pick? And it's an interesting question because I'm sure there's a lot of fans that are going to maybe go to that first night of the draft in Green Bay and would love to hear Green Bay announce a draft pick for their team. And I'm sure it would be a bit of a bummer if you got to the first round and Green Bay didn't make a pick. And maybe you could survive that if the trade was happening on that day and they got Max Crosby or Myles Garrett or something like that. But if that's not the case, well, then you know, went and didn't get your satisfaction by attending the draft and not even getting to see the Packers make a selection in the first round. But Brian Gutekunst said that Mark Murphy has spoken to him and that he does not have to keep the first round pick. He can do what is in the best interest of the football team, which is exactly what you want to hear if you're a Packer fan. Yes, it'd be cool if Green Bay got to make a first round selection while hosting the draft in Green Bay. Goody and the Green Bay Packers are not in the business of hanging banners for a first round pick that takes place in your hometown. That's not the goal of this. The goal is to win championships. Can you imagine, by the way, I don't think this is going to be the case, but just imagine a scenario in which Goody has a trade worked out for a Max Crosby, a Myles Garrett, enter whatever big time trade you want to enter into. And they've got the deal done. They've been working with the Browns and Andrew Berry, and they've got this deal set. The Green Bay Packers are going to acquire Myles Garrett. They're going to have to trade away their 2023 first round pick, or just 2025 first round pick. And they're going to have to, you know, give that up in order to make the trade happen. Get to that scenario. They agree on the terms of the deal. Myles Garrett's going to be a Green Bay Packer. Goes to call Mark Murphy up and say, hey, we've got a deal for Myles Garrett. We're going to be trading away our first round pick this year, whatever next year, Lucas Van Ness, maybe whatever it might be. And Mark Murphy says, sorry, can't do it. You've got to hang on to your first round pick this year. We need a pick in the first round because we're hosting the draft. Can you imagine losing out on Myles Garrett? Maybe you go back to Andrew Berry and say, well, we can't do our first round pick this year. And they say, sorry, you know, the team picking at 24 is willing to trade theirs, and we would rather do that than, you know, get a future first round pick or something different. We really want that first round pick in that 20th, you know, range this year. So they go with the other team and the Green Bay Packers miss out on Myles Garrett because Green Bay wanted to make a pick in the first round of a draft that they were hosting. It's the last thing you want, right? It's another reason to be thankful that Green Bay does not have a meddling owner that gets involved in this stuff, because that could theoretically be a problem. But per Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst in this situation, it is not a problem. That Goody can do whatever he feels is best for the organization, which is exactly what you want to hear if you're a fan. And on top of that, the interesting connotation here, question is, who went to who? Mark Murphy go to Brian Gutekunst and just reassure him, hey, you can do whatever you need to do in this draft. Feel free to trade away whatever you want. Did Goody go to Mark Murphy? Goody went to Mark Murphy and said, hey, I just want to make sure I can trade my first round pick. It's interesting. Is that a trade that he wants to make? Is that something he's considering? A trade for maybe a big time defensive end or something like that? Or is it more that he would like to move out of round one and go into round two and pick up additional draft capital in a draft that, you know, right around pick 23 starts to fall off a little bit, and the difference between 23 and 45 may not be that great. That would be a little bit maybe more of a tough sell for fans. If you show up to the draft on draft day and you're at pick 23 and you're making that selection and they trade out and they trade to the second round and now you've got to come back the next day if you want to see it, it might be a little bit of a tougher sell, but interesting to think about who made that inquiry and why they made that inquiry. Could have just been simple, easy. Mark Murphy just reassuring Goody, or it could be that Goody has something in mind. I'll have to kind of wait and see. Another one, defensive line. Brian Gutekunst said, quote, we need to affect the quarterback with four, meaning his four-man rush. It needs to be more consistent. We need to be able to control the game. That's got to get better if we're going to accomplish our goals. Interesting. This is not a little throwaway line about pass rush, right? It needs to be more consistent. We have to affect the quarterback with four. We need to be able to control the game, and it has to be better if we want to accomplish our goals, which he's meaning win a Super Bowl. The way that the defensive line played last year, Jeff Hafley did an amazing job overall, but it's not going to probably get the job done in big time games come playoff time. They need some big time performers. Enter Brian Gutekunst. This feels like a little bit of a tell of like, hey, we're going to be aggressive going and getting some defensive line help for this group. Now, they have DeMarcus Covington coming in, new defensive line coach. Hopefully that helps. They're only losing TJ Slayton, or, you know, could lose TJ Slayton. It's not a for sure, but everyone else is coming back. A lot of these players who had to make the transition to Jeff Hafley's defense now are going to be in second year of that defense. But I would expect Goody to be pretty aggressive here as well. I think that was a pretty telling line. And as Jake Morley tweeted out, usually Goody's going to give you some breadcrumbs of exactly what he's going to do. This felt like a pretty significant breadcrumb. Got to affect the quarterback with four. He knows they can't do it right now. So that next logical step is bringing in somebody that can help them achieve that goal. Goody also mentioned that he wants more draft picks. Mike Spofford said, Brian, you're going into this draft with not as many picks as you've had. And Goody said, yet. This is just classic Goody. He wants as many bites of the apple as he can possibly get. Wouldn't read too much into it yet, but I would be willing to bet you Goody ends up with 9 or 10 picks in this draft. That would be my guess. Now, if he trades away the first round pick, maybe that ends up being a little bit different, but assuming he doesn't make some sort of crazy first round pick for a player, I'm going to guess that he ends up with probably 10 draft picks in totality in this draft. Smaller edge rushers. This is almost verbatim of what he talked about at the league meetings last year, but a different position. Last year he was asked about linebackers and getting some of these linebackers who could cover a little bit better. And he basically made mention of like, hey, it's great if we get these platoon players, and I'm going to paraphrase Goody quite a bit here, but it's great if we get some of these platoon players and we get some smaller, you know, coverage linebackers up until the point where your early down linebackers go out with injury and now your coverage linebackers need to play on every single down and they can't hold up against the run and it becomes a major problem. So that's why he very much values the versatility and guys who can play multiple positions and more specifically in this case, both the run and the pass. Well, he made mention of this with defensive ends as well. And he said, you love those guys that can scream off the edge and come in on third down, give you 20 snaps a game, and they're very effective. What happens is when injuries hit and they have to play more, can they make it through a season going against 320-pound guys? And it's fair. I think it's not just can they make it through the season, but it's can they hold up at the point of attack? Every once in a while, you'll find somebody, Nolan Smith, the Philadelphia Eagle, undersized pass rusher, did a great job holding up against the run in certain plays this past year. Looked great doing it at times. But that's not usually going to be the case. It's usually the exception to the rule. So Goody brings up a great point. That's why he tries to go for these overall players. It's a good reminder that if you're looking at some of these pass rushers, maybe a Milton Williams on the interior, he usually doesn't like these platoon players. He wants players that can stay in on all three downs, that can be used in a variety of different ways, that can stop the run, that can, you know, get after the quarterback from a passing game standpoint. And I'm not sure that some of the players like Osa Odighizuwa and Milton Williams, amongst others, really fit that category all that well. And it's going to be very interesting to see which players maybe Goody does think are in that realm and which player he hopefully does go out and eventually acquire. Talked about Keyshawn Nixon as a kick returner. Quote, I wouldn't say he doesn't want to. I know he said what he said, but he's pretty good at it. He's gotten a lot of awards because of it. I will say this, I would like to have multiple options there. So it sounds like maybe he's looking at how they can develop some more options at kick returner, but also not ruling out Keyshawn Nixon as a potential kick returner in the future as well. He talked a little bit about wide receiver injuries. He said, in regards to Jaden Reed, he may be a little limited, though, through some of the offseason stuff, but he should be okay by the time we get to training camp. If you don't remember, Jaden Reed mentioned in his closing remarks as he was exiting for the year that he tore his labrum in the game against Philly. So that's going to be something he's got to get cleaned up, and it might take him the offseason up until training camp before he's ready to go. From Christian Watson's standpoint, Goody said, quote, he's a freak in many ways as far as that goes. Doing well, he's got a lot in front of him, but I expect him to attack it like he does everything else. Everything so far has been really good. He's been through this before, so he knows what to expect. It's a big injury. It may take some time, but he's got the right mindset, positive attitude towards it. And then with Romeo Doubs, with the concussions, said, quote, anytime a guy has a couple concussions back to back, there's some concern there, not necessarily his long-term liability or anything like, or anything just for him. So he's talking about his long-term health, right? I would expect him to bounce back and be at his best. So it doesn't sound like Reed and Doubs are going to carry over into the actual regular season or anything like that. And it doesn't sound like there's any long-term concerns with Romeo, which is a great sign. The one that you have to keep an eye out for is Christian Watson, where again, we're not expecting him to get back until, you know, at least midway through the season and probably a little bit after that. He went on also to talk about taking wide receivers in the first round. He said, quote, At no time in my 20 some years within the organization, whether it was Ron or Ted, did I hear them talk about that as a philosophy, meaning not taking a wide receiver in the first round. I don't think we'd ever hesitate to take one in the first round if the right one was there. And so there it is. And we've talked about this. I've talked about it. It's happenstance. It just is what it is. I don't think there's anything that they have against taking a wide receiver. I think here's how I would tell you would be the case, right? Let's say you've got a wide receiver that has a, let's just say it's a 6.5, whatever it is. Doesn't matter what the grade is, right? You've got a wide receiver with a grade and you've got a defensive end, a corner, a quarterback, or a defensive tackle, like a premium position player, offensive tackle. So if I already said that, a premium position player that's also available or that's also graded the exact same, right? They're probably putting in most cases, the quarterback's going to be a little bit interesting depending on where they're at with their current quarterback, but quarterback, offensive tackle, defensive end, defensive tackle, and corner are probably all going ahead of them if they all have equal grades. Wide receiver's probably a little bit lower on that list. So the wide receiver needs to be the higher graded player that is available, and then they have to actually get to the spot that you're drafting. I can almost guarantee you that Green Bay was going to take Justin Jefferson or Brandon Ayuk had they been there. And instead, they traded for Jordan Love. Could end up being a blessing in disguise for a variety of different reasons, but they probably would have taken Ayuk or Jefferson had they fallen a couple more picks. Just so happened they didn't. I think there's opportunities that they would have loved to have back where, again, players just went a little bit ahead of them, or they just kind of got, I don't want to say caught, but it just wasn't the right opportunity to draft a wide receiver. It is what it is. You're not always going to get the guys or the positions or your ideal draft pick that falls to you at a certain point in the draft. It doesn't work that way. You got to be prepared. You got to pivot. Green Bay's pivoted more often than not rather than reach for a player at a position of need, which is exactly how you should navigate the draft. And I'm not saying Goody's done a phenomenal job with it. There's some things that he needs to clean up, but he kind of verified they're more than willing to take a wide receiver in the first round if it calls for it and if the right receiver is available. We talked about Brandon McManus. They'd love to have him back or working towards that. He said that he expects LVN to take a big jump this year. I'm sure he's hoping like heck he does. It's been a tough couple of years for LVN. Now, he talked about LVN attacking everything the right way. That's great. He needs to continue to do that. He has to put a pass rush plan together. If he does, these things can come together relatively quick. But that is going to be the key for him. We'll see if DeMarcus Covington can kind of get him a little bit more juiced up and excited. Not excited, but like just ready for games. Build that pass rush plan. And if so, look out because he's got all the talent in the world, but he needs to take that step. And we'll see if Goody can eventually be right here. And he does take a big jump this year. Goody also talked about Josh Jacobs and his comments about needing more players. And he basically just said he loves the passion and intensity of Josh Jacobs. It didn't raise to the level of anything that was detrimental to the football team and therefore much ado about nothing. And I love that philosophy from Goody. Talk to him, tell him how excited you are to build this roster out. Keep him in the loop a little bit. No need to discipline for anything that he did. And it's a new day. And I don't think there's any reason to hold anything against Josh Jacobs in that situation. Goody did confirm that they were the team that put in something about the tush push to ban it. So he did confirm that. Quay Walker, fifth year option. Quote, the linebacker for the fifth year option is a little wonky because there's so many edge guys that are part of that, which drives up the number, which probably isn't great. But yeah, we'd like to find a way to keep Quay around here long term, whether that be via an extension or something. I still think they end up with a compromise. They get a 1 year extension and then they kind of look at it the year after that. That'd be my guess, but don't be stunned or shocked if Quay Walker works out a brand new contract with Green Bay, whether it's a 1 year, three, four, who knows what it ends up being. But I would expect that at some point in the next year, there's some sort of new contract or negotiation with Quay Walker that we get a finalization on. Keyshawn Nixon on being corner one, or what Goody thought of him being corner one. Quote, I think he played really, really well. I think he really fit what Jeff Hafley was trying to do. First of all, he's an outstanding competitor. I don't blink when we asked him to do that. But I just think his athleticism and his ability with his eyes and his ability to tackle served us well out there. For me, he may not have the length that some of those guys on the outside have, but his awareness and ball skills make up for that. I agree. I really like Keyshawn on the outside. I'm not saying he should be your 1A corner. I don't think you should have him as your number one corner. But if you need to start him out there, I feel a lot more confident going into 2025 than I certainly did in 2024. And he deserves a ton of credit for the work that he put in. And he, to me, looks much better as a pure outside corner than he does as a slot corner at this stage of his career. Offensive line, said, quote, "I feel good about our offensive line. We'll always continue to address it because it's such an important part of what we do. But I like the versatility of our guys. We've got a lot of guys that can play four spots, a couple guys who can play probably all five. So we work really hard on these guys that we bring into the building to have that versatility to do that, whether that's because we have injuries or we have to shuffle the lineup to get the best five guys out there. I think that's our first best five guys out there comment of 2025, which you love to see." And this has draft written all over it, that they're going to kind of keep their same guys in tow. We'll see what happens with Josh Myers. I think he's probably gone, but we'll see. And then you sort of restock the cupboard a little bit via the draft. That's kind of what I gleaned from that. That's it. Those were the main takeaways from Brian Gutekunst's press conference. Always interesting to kind of look back at it. Again, just to kind of recap here, my take is Jair's gone based on his comments. My take is that they are likely going to attack defensive end or defensive line pretty aggressively. He can trade his first round pick if he needs to. He still wants more draft picks. He's not okay with those platoon smaller edge rushers, or he could just be lying as well. Throw people off the scent, I guess. Feels like Nixon can still be the kick returner in Green Bay. Updated the wide receiver injury. Sound like good news other than Watson, who still good news. He's, you know, everything's progressing, but still going to be some time. He said that they're more than happy to take a wide receiver in the first round if the opportunity presents itself. Brandon McManus, they'd love to have back. LVN's in for a breakout year. No concern with Josh Jacobs' comments about, you know, wanting three more players this offseason. Confirmed that the tush push was in fact Green Bay's ban idea or proposal. Talked about Quay Walker and trying to get a compromise or an extension done because the fifth-year option doesn't make sense. Nixon just praised him for his work as outside corner and then said, again, that they're willing to attack offensive line, but it felt like more draft and develop than anything else. That is going to do it for me today. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wrightboom, Hanel Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnoldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, and Jake Concher. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.